Dan Sheridan here. It's a pleasure spending time with you. This is lesson number 6 in our Civics Made Easy course, and it's entitled, We're in This Together. That's because we're trying to emphasize the fact that our government is an extension of the individual and local communities. The best way to turn a country around is from the bottom up, not the top down. As a matter of fact, did you know our nation started as a bunch of communities that eventually united as states? So America was formed by local communities that got together. That's the way the nation started, and that's the way a nation stays preserved, with strong local communities. And that's what we're trying to teach you in these lessons. Now, we're going to take a look at the oldest form of American government, the New England township. Thomas Jefferson said this. He goes, those wards called townships in New England have proved themselves the wisest invention ever devised by the wit of man for the perfect exercise of self-government and for its preservation. As Cato, then, concluded every speech with the words, Carthago delenda est, so do I every opinion with the injunction, divide the counties into wards. That was Thomas Jefferson's statement. Thomas Jefferson loved local government. It was his passion. You know, on his tombstone, he listed all of his achievements but one, the presidency. Do you believe that? He left the presidency off. He didn't even want it as his list of achievements. He preferred local government to national government. And I think we should too. And that's why Jefferson said every opinion he ends with the injunction, divide the counties into wards. He wanted to constantly stress local self-government. That was very important to him. It was his passion. Now, let's take a look further at the quote I just gave you. Jefferson said three very important things about the township. First, it's the wisest invention ever devised by the wit of man. Now, that's an amazing claim. He's saying that this invention shows man at his best. Now, the second item tells us what this wisdom is directed towards. So second, it's the perfect exercise of self-government. That's what Jefferson said. The township is the place where self-government is displayed in its highest form. A mature nation is one where the local government is alive and well. And third, the township preserves self-government. One lesson of history is that where national governments swallow up local governments, the people become enslaved. That's a true statement. The only way to keep liberty alive and checks and balances maintained is through local self-government. Now, we should know as much about our towns and our counties as we do our country. Even more. If we're so focused on Washington, eventually the local communities will die out and we're on our way to slavery. That's a fact of history. All right, let's get back to the New England township, which Jefferson loved so much. Let's take a closer look at it. The people who first came to Massachusetts Bay settled in sections of irregular-shaped lands, and these lands became the townships. The settlers didn't scatter throughout the countryside on big, giant estates like they did in Virginia. Virginia and New England were different. We'll talk about Virginia in a future lesson. But Jefferson really loved the New England setup, and we'll talk about why here. And there are two main reasons why the Massachusetts Bay settlers settled the way they did, why they stayed close together. First of all, the New England settlers came to the New World because they weren't happy with church arrangements in England, and they wanted to reform the state-sponsored church in a number of ways. For one thing, they wanted the congregation to have more input on how they were governed. For another, they wanted their minister to be not so much under the thumb of the bishop as well as the state. And also, they wanted to dump various forms and ceremonies they didn't like. They wanted to get away from some of the systems that the Church of England had imposed on them. They just didn't like them. Now, of course, these reforms weren't welcomed by the establishment. So, to avoid being wiped out, because it was a serious thing to go against the state church in those days, they came to the New World to put these reforms into practice on their own, far away from the persecutions of the old world. That's why they came. So that's why they came to the New World in congregations led by their favorite minister, men like Higginson, Cotton, Davenport, and Hooker. These men were facing persecutions in the Old World for their preaching. And so facing these dangers, they decided to head to the New World, and many of their congregations would join their favorite minister, and they'd be led like a flock across the ocean. That's how they felt. They felt they were like the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. So they came across the ocean as churches led by their ministers. And as a result, they would naturally find a spot of land where they could build houses close together and go to the same church. Some of the earliest Connecticut towns were founded by congregations. These included Watertown, Dorchester, and Cambridge. So land grants were given to congregations who wanted to live together, not individuals. Now, the second reason they didn't scatter around the countryside has to do with the soil. Virginia had the perfect soil to produce large crops of high demand, products such as rice and tobacco, so they can build large farms. But this was not the case in New England. That's another reason why the people didn't build large plantations. The people lived in New England lived on small farms which produced enough products for the family needs. And this made it possible for New Englanders to create an area where people lived close together, right next to each other, and they went to the same church. So that's kind of an introduction to the New England township. Now, in our next lesson, we're going to take a look at what this government looked like. Now, until then, here's an assignment for you. I want to make this interactive. I want you to look up your town, village, or city. Look it up online. And then start taking notes. Write down or create a file with the list of offices in your town or city and the names of your officials. And ask and look online and see if there are meetings coming up, and when and where are they at? Can you attend it? What issues are going to be discussed? So think about that and try to get involved in your local community. I'll tell you what I've discovered about my communities. One thing you will find out, the distinction between city, village, and town could be somewhat random from state to state today. For instance, in my own life, I grew up in the city of Chicago, and then I moved to Park Ridge when I was about 9 years old. It's a Chicago suburb. Park Ridge is labeled a city, just like Chicago is. And now, today, I live in a small village. In 2014, the population of the city of Chicago was over 2.7 million. Park Ridge was 38,000, and yet they're both called cities. My current village has a population a little over 2,700. The title of city, town, or village has a lot to do with standards and guidelines for incorporation. It varies from state to state. One of the assistant professors of urban planning and policy at DePaul University said this: in Illinois, there's very little difference. The largest remaining difference is that villages must have exactly 6 trustees, where cities may have 6 or more aldermen. So my childhood home, Park Ridge, has exactly 6 aldermen representing 6 wards. And my current village, where I live now, has a mayor and exactly 6 trustees. So according to DePaul University, that's exactly what's going on with my old city, Park Ridge, and my current village. So that's how it looks, the government looks right now. So go online and look up your city or village or wherever you live at and try to write all these things down. Okay, in our next lesson, we're going to take a closer look at the New England township and what it looked like. This is Dan Sheridan. Thanks for listening. I really hope you learned something. Remember this, until next time, we're in this together, so be good to one another.